Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin.
So we have a question that's come out of your recent sermon on lament, which I should tell you has had quite an impact. I've had conversations with a number of people, and understandably, I think that really hits us where we live. So I appreciate this question. So this person says, I was grateful for your sermon on lament. Thank you. My question is, what is the difference between honest lament and a lack of trust or belief?
Yeah. We were always going between those two. Right. Probably a normal Christian life is always going to be on the line of that.
And I should say that for myself, that's part of what I appreciated about what you had to say about lament. It's that I know for myself, sometimes I feel guilty, even if I'm coming to the Lord and I'm seeing, you know, others in Scripture doing this very thing.
Right.
Yeah. I feel guilty. Thank
you. Yeah, saying hard things to the Lord, like, where are you?
Right.
Why haven't you done
who am
anything?
I to say that? Right.
Yeah, and that's I think probably, and I think a lot of us are there. I know I'm in that camp too, Kevin. And I think part of it is because we haven't learned the freedom and the discipline of lament. We just haven't done it in our life. We've stuffed our feelings. We've done the Pollyanna thing. Well, it'll work out, and we haven't allowed ourselves to be honest before God over how much this hurts, how much we're disappointed by our circumstances, a loss, some form of injustice. And, what I love about the psalmists is they're very real. One of the things that I think we all loved about Andrew Brunson's testimony was how raw it was. Mm-hmm. Just so real and raw. There he was in prison. God, where are you? Are you just the God of the conferences? You show up for the flashy stuff, but you don't show up when we really need you in prison. And that was his, of course, his experience for the 2 years, but intensely that first year. But I think this is, the discipline of lament. Because I say it's discipline because I think it is, because I think it's learning how to pray like the psalmists prayed. And again, you can probably find this Google laments, biblical laments. You can probably find articles and things or look in a good commentary. But there really is this pattern of there's an introduction, an address to God. There's a complaint. You know, I'm getting clobbered. My enemies are hounding me, and then there's always the petition, save, Lord, and a lot of times it's couched the complaint with, where are you? How long, O Lord? Don't you see? You know, sometimes the psalmist will say, I've done nothing wrong here, and you haven't defended my righteousness. Other times, it will be, Lord, your name is at stake. Don't you see what they're doing to your cause? And, the psalmists will go back and forth on kind of their argument before God for why they're petitioning for his help. But I think this is the key in these Psalms of Lament that move them from lack of trust to honest lament is there's always in the heart of it this and yet, or but you, O Lord. And so I guess what you can say some really hurtful things, in our ears to the Lord. Psalm 74, really is in effect, why you are standing around with your hands in your pockets doing nothing. That's a hard thing to say. If somebody said that to me, Richard, you're just standing around doing nothing. I would be offended by that.
Yeah, of course.
What do you mean?
Right.
But the psalmist says this. Arise. Remember, meaning you've forgotten somehow. At least, it looks that way to me. But I think the difference here is on which side of the door are we in this whole lament? If we're on the outside of the door and we're knocking, and there's silence from heaven, we may be tempted to walk away, just fooey on God. You know, I'll go figure this out. I'll just grin and bear it, you know, whatever. But we distance ourselves. We walk away. But if we're on the inside, there we are in the presence of the Lord, and we don't understand his silence. We don't understand his standing around. But we're waiting, and we're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that the tenacity of faith, a great picture of this is in 2 Kings 4. This is the Shunammite woman. She and her husband have not been able to have children. And Elisha comes and, you know, what does this woman need? And, you know, she needs a child. And so he prophesies and she has a child and, you know, she, you know, don't lie to your servant, you know. But anyway, she has this child and then the child dies a few years later. When the child's grown, he's out in the field. We don't know if he's sunstroke or gets hit by a sickle. I don't know what but he's, oh, my head. And anyway, the child dies. And so she puts him on the bed and she gets on a donkey and she rides to go find the prophet, the Shunammite woman. And when she finds him, and this is in 2 Kings 4, verse 27. And when she came to the mountain to the man of God, she caught hold of his feet. So you get the picture here of Elisha standing there, and this woman comes and falls on the ground and grabs his ankles, just puts her arms around his ankles, takes hold of his feet. And Gehazi, you know, the servant of Elisha, tries to push her away. You know, get back. And Elisha says, no, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress. And the Lord's hidden it from me. And then here begins her lament. did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Those are some bold words. Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk to a prophet, you're talking to God, because the prophet is God's spokesperson. So, you know, I didn't ask you for this. Basically what she's saying is, God, I didn't ask you for this. And you deceived me. You gave me a son, you took him away. Now, if she's on the outside of the door and, Elisha doesn't do anything, she's going to walk away, go back home and just be bitter. But listen to what happens. Elisha sends his servant ahead of him. But verse 30, then the mother of the child says, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So she's there grabbing his feet, saying, I'm not going anywhere until you do something. And that's when, you know, he gets up, follows her, and goes with her to the house. And I think that's just such a beautiful picture of lament. It's the bitter distress of the soul, of the heart. Here's this broken circumstance. There's no lack of trust in saying, you deceived me, or, you know, why did you do this? And there's no lack of trust on our part to say hard things to God. Lord, you're a God of mercy. You're a God of love. And you said goodness and mercy would follow me all my days. And I'm not seeing that here. And I'm bitter of soul about this. And there's a lot of things in life, with our children, with our careers, friendships, the loss of loved ones, the loss of a lot of things, and these bitter of soul things that we deal with. And the scriptures invite us, God himself invites us, don't go it alone. Come to me with those things. Cast these cares on me. I do care for you. But God sometimes has a strange way of showing he cares for us. Yeah. And that's a reality we live with. And so, but it's not a lack of trust to complain to God. I was expecting this, and I got that, and I don't like this. But again, it's the what moves it to honest lament is that, but yet, Lord, I'm not going anywhere. I'm taking hold of your feet, and I'm going to hold on to you, and I am going to trust you that you're going to work this out in such a way for you, that will be for your glory and for my good, and that's where I'm going to wait. And so I come inside the house, as it were, into God's presence, and I say, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
And you can't throw me out. So I think it's, that's what I would call the tenacity of faith. It's also very bold, and it's a hard place to stand, because mm-hmm. if you're crying out to God in bitterness of heart and you don't feel like God's speaking to you, what do you do? Mm. Well, you keep speaking. You keep crying out to God, and you keep going there. I think over the long haul of things, when, for years and years and years we're dealing with the situation, that's when it's so hard. And I think the Lord does give us a peace about these things. I think he does meet us in these. And we talk about how God is supreme to deliver us from anything. But if he doesn't deliver us from something, he is sufficient to sustain us in it. And so our prayer, as we're crying out, God, why don't you do something? Where are you? We need your help. Lord, get up, rise, help. It may be that the Lord is saying, no, you're going to wait in this. And our prayer almost changes to, well, then Lord, sustain me in this. Mm-hmm. Sustain me. Be my strength. Give me grace. Help me to see what I'm not seeing of you and of myself and of this situation. And I will trust that you are at work here, even though I don't see your handiwork. Mm. So I think that's that place of trust and faith. And it's a difficult place to be, especially when we're going through a very difficult circumstance. But again, the honest lament we are doing there, is very different from walking away, getting bitter in our heart toward God, and then distancing ourselves from him. We just don't see the psalmists doing that. They're relentless in moving toward God. Mm. So I don't know if that, I hope that helps with an answer, but.
Let me ask you this. So if you, let's say that you have been in a lament place for some time from some circumstance that's present in your life, and you sense that there's something creeping in you that's taking you outside the door, mm-hmm. what should you do? What should somebody do if they find themselves in that place?
I think you admit that to the Lord. Lord, my faith is crumbling here. Help me. I have doubts. Just be honest about that with God. Mm-hmm. Tell him. And we do serve a living God, and he does care about his children, and he cares about his relationship with his children. And so although in the larger scheme of things, God may be working something out that we just don't have the wisdom to see it and discernment of the hand of God in this situation, we can trust that he is at work. And I think... we struggle with this victorious Christian life notion, and that a faithful Christian life is a happy Christian life where everything works, and there's going to be a constant ache in our hearts throughout our earthly journey, an ache for God, an ache for justice, an aching for the righteousness to come. We may see it blossoming in things in our lives, in our world even, but we're not going to see the fullness of what we really, really long for. And so, Jacob limping, we're going to go limping and aching through this life. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry to say it, but that's what we got to prepare for. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is aching and limping too, but we do so from relationship with God, yeah. confident that the word of the Lord is true. He fulfills every word, every promise, and he will work out for our good and his glory the circumstances of our lives. Yeah. Again, we may wait all our lives in this earthly journey, but that's where we hang on by faith. Like this Shunammite woman, we grab God by the ankles, so to speak. And I'm not going anywhere, Lord. I don't like what you're doing or not doing, mm-hmm. but I'm not going anywhere. I do love you. And I remember a Jack Miller illustration. He was he started World Harvest Missions and was responsible for the Sonship course, and now what we use is the Gospel Centered Life course. And he was visiting a woman in the hospital, and she complained that God didn't hear her prayers. She didn't feel his closeness. And he just somewhat flippantly said, well, you obviously are not asking loud enough. And then he left, kind of chuckling. And the next day he came in, or a couple days later he came in, and this woman was sitting up in bed. She was no longer depressed. She was still sick, but there was a joy in her. And he was like, night and day, what happened to you? She said, Pastor, you were right. When you left, I started shouting to God. And not so much in anger, but God, why won't you? And she physically, with loud voice, lamented to God. And God met her. I don't think it was just getting it off her chest. But there was something in the physical act of raising her voice and directly speaking of her pain and bringing it to God, that he met her in that. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, so is this the new therapy? go shout your laments. Right. Well, maybe, I don't know. I know I've done that. And mm-hmm. I know some other brothers and sisters who you're going out on a mountainside or in a, you know, kind of a quiet room, and just they have poured out their heart mm-hmm. to God. Loud lamentation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is there a catharsis in that? Maybe there's a portion of that. But I think somehow being able to empty the soul of what's really in there mm-hmm. before God, sometimes we need to voice it.
And I think maybe it's helpful for us to remember that a peace that passes understanding is just that. The peace that comes because things are resolved is not hard to understand. Mm-hmm. That's completely understandable. But peace that can come when things are not resolved, mm-hmm. when there is no justice, or when there's something painful, deeply painful, that's not resolved, that doesn't make any sense. But that's exactly what the scriptures tell us that we're promised.
Yeah, it is. That's right. Yeah, that peace that passes all understanding, that guards the heart and mind. Mm-hmm. And that's the peace of Jesus Christ within the brokenness. Mm.
Will you pray for us?
I will, yes. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us these songs of lament in the Psalms. And thank you that there are people way ahead of us on this journey in this life who have laid out for us, Lord, how to cry out to you from the bitterness of soul, the brokenness of life, and yet in the context of relationship with you. And Lord, teach us how to do this, how to cry out to you, and in the confidence, Lord, that yet you are God, yet you are my King, yet you are the shepherd, the one who hears, and the one who will answer. And so, Lord, would you grant peace, Lord, to your people who cry out to you today from brokenness. Mm. And Lord, keep us from being a people of unbelief who throw in the towel because you haven't answered on our timetable. But Lord, with honest lament, may we cry out to you for the righteousness and the justice and the peace that your kingdom promises that one day will be here. And Lord, that in a way only you can bring and sustain us, Lord, in the midst of the brokenness, with the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.